name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear beloved in Christ, part of the family of God, the family of Christ, Jesus says, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we talk about this. Because Jesus has defeated the prince of demons, the devils, and all hell itself, he now brings us into God's family, the one holy Christian and apostolic church of all ages, the one family of God, because Christ has defeated that strong man, Satan. We are in this visible church called Trinity Lutheran Church. But we are part of the invisible church of all ages, all true Christians on earth, and all the saints who are already in heaven. We are all the invisible, holy Christian, and apostolic church. And so today, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of what the true family of God is. And of course, that's based upon the reality. He has defeated the devil and brought us into God's kingdom. So let me ask you something. Who do you consider your family? Many of us are going to be going, myself included, on family reunions and seeing parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces and nephews, spending time together, rejoicing in all the relationships we've had with all of our family members, and rejoicing in God's love and goodness to our families. But you know, really, you're part of three different families. First of all, you have your own earthly family, your father, your mother, your siblings, etc. You're a part of the heavenly family in this congregation, Trinity Lutheran. You are also part of the eternal family in the heavens, which remains forever. This is your family, the Holy Christian Church. And what is beautiful about being a church is that we are family. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn, because we are the family of God in this place, but we are part of the invisible Holy Christian Church of all ages. Rejoice today that you are part of God's family. Now, God has always wanted us to be part of his family. I love Genesis chapter 3, for at the beginning of creation, when Adam and Eve would be in the garden, astoundingly, the Lord God would take some kind of a human form and would be walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which all of us are doing ourselves in our backyards in the summertime. The Lord would come down in the cool of the day and walk in the garden. They knew the presence of the Lord because they heard the sound of his footsteps. Already, even at the beginning of creation, God wanted to include Adam and Eve, his people, in his family, and would come down to speak to them personally. What a picture for us of what Jesus Christ has done by coming and walking this earth. His footsteps touch this dirt, this soil that we walk on. He is our Lord, our Savior, but he is also our brother and our friend who has brought us into the Heavenly Father's family. So, my friends, let us rejoice today that whoever does God's will is truly Jesus' brother and sister and mother. Let's first of all look at what the kingdom and house of Jesus is. Jesus had come home to Nazareth, his hometown where he had been raised as the carpenter's son. There was such a crowd around him because they'd heard about his miracles, they heard his preaching. So many people he couldn't even eat, pressed by the crowds. His own family wants to seize him, and they say he is out of his mind. Let me explain. By this point, Joseph obviously has passed away, his stepfather, is not in the picture anymore, the carpenter. Mary, his mother, is there. The Gospels tell us he had four brothers, and all their names are given. and he had sisters. So he had at least two sisters. So Jesus was the eldest of seven children in a family. But at this time, early in his ministry, his own brothers didn't even believe in him yet. Jesus is 30 years old, was a carpenter. Why is he preaching and doing miracles? His own brothers didn't understand. This is amazing. Jesus so totally hid his deity in his humanity, his own brothers didn't even grasp yet, until his resurrection, Jesus in his true identity. Now, you know your Bible. You know that by the time of Christ's resurrection and in the book of Acts, all of his brothers were among the apostolic band, and his brother James became one of the pillars of the church. But at this point, they did not yet grasp who Jesus was. They think he's lost his mind. The scribes also come all the way from Jerusalem to go all the way up to Nazareth and have an absurd statement about Jesus. Jesus had also been casting demons out. Just with a word, he would cast them out. They say something completely absurd. He's casting out demons by Beelzebub, which is Satan, the prince of demons. Jesus is going, "What? That's absurd. Why would Satan oppose his own kingdom? Why would he destroy his own house and kingdom and bring it to an end? No one does that. That's absurd." Jesus is that one who is coming to bind this strong man, Satan, and plunder his house. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus was doing these miracles, and this was blasphemy for them to say that he did it by Satan. Jesus is that one, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who is both true God and true man in one person. The mystery of the union of the two natures of Christ. And this is the one who was foretold in Genesis 3:15 in the Old Testament lesson. He was the one of the seed of the woman who would come to crush the head of the serpent, but he would be bruised in his heel. A picture of Christ's crucifixion, pierced in hands and feet and side. But by that piercing, he crushed and stomped the head of the serpent snake and defeated the works of the devil. So the kingdom and house of Jesus is come, and he has been the one who has destroyed the work of Satan. Praise be to God that through holy baptism, he has placed you into his kingdom and into his house. Secondly, we look at what Jesus says about the work of the Holy Spirit, because he now moves on to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Pentecost Sunday, we rejoice that when the Spirit came, he reversed the Tower of Babel, and now people are called back through the one language of the gospel of all nations to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We are about to confess after the sermon and the Nicene Creed that that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Because of Jesus' death and atoning sacrifice, all our sins and blasphemies of the children of man will be forgiven when we repent and in humble faith come before God. They will be forgiven, as you heard absolution today. Because of the completed sacrifice of Christ on the cross, called justification, atonement, propitiation, we, through faith and by grace, our sins are all forgiven. They're removed as far as the east is from the west, because Jesus' blood has removed them forever. However, Jesus says, "Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." What does this mean? The sin against the Holy Spirit is unbelief. That's what it is. The scribes did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. They opposed him. Jesus, they said, had an unclean spirit and did these miracles by the devil. That was blasphemy. For them to say that about the Holy Spirit, who actually threw the demons out, to call the Holy Spirit Satan is utter, complete blasphemy and shows their lack of faith. The sin against the Holy Spirit is unbelief, having no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If your television set is on, and you go over and you pull the plug, everything goes off. The cable, the television, the computers, everything hooked up to it, it's gone. This is what unbelief does. The gospel of Christ is being proclaimed and people believe it, but the other people refuse to believe it. They pull the plug on God. They disconnect themselves from Christ. And that's the eternal sin of unbelief. If they remain in their unbelief, they will be damned in hell. They will be condemned because they have disconnected themselves from the only source of their forgiveness. One cannot be saved without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is impossible to please God without faith. Praise be to God that that's not true of you and me. We have been given faith by the Holy Spirit. We have faith that Christ is the atoning sacrifice for me and for you. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. You didn't create the faith that you have. The Holy Spirit created faith in you through the preaching of the gospel. All of your life, the Holy Spirit has been creating faith in your heart, seeing that you were baptized, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, received Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, nurturing that faith so that you will be saved on the last day when Christ comes in glory. We rejoice that we are in the kingdom and house of God. We rejoice that we are given the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, we rejoice that we are in the true family of God. As I said earlier, Jesus' earthly family included his stepfather Joseph, his mother, his brothers, and his sisters. And they were seeking him outside. And then Jesus looks around all the people and says, well, who are my brothers and sisters and mothers? Saying to those sitting around him. And looking at all those who were sitting around him, he says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. This is amazing. All people of all races, of all nationalities, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, men, women, children, who do the will of God, that is, have faith in Christ and believe, and are a good tree that bears good fruit, are part of God's family. This has amazing ramifications in our personal lives and in the lives of all congregations. We are one congregation. Those of you who remember back in 2000, we had the theme, One Family in our church, school, and campus ministry, Rejoice, Renew, and Respond, as we put up all these extra buildings here in our facility. We are part of the one holy Christian and apostolic church of all ages, but we're also a congregation here in this place right now. You know what the amazingly beautiful ramification of that is? We are literally family to one another. The people in this congregation that are older than you, you can treat them like your parents. The people that are the same age as you are like your brothers and sisters. The people that are younger than you are like your own children, like your own grandchildren. In a day and age when there's so many broken families, broken marriages, people who are widowed, people who are living by themselves, what a great joy when they come here, they have fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, children. What does a family do? We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. Get to know one another in this congregation. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Find out what they're experiencing, share their burdens, share their joys. And that's the amazing thing that is beautiful to me as a pastor in a congregation, to see that we are each other's family. So in conclusion, you are part of three families. Your earthly family in which you were raised, your heavenly family, which is this congregation, and the eternal family, which is in heaven, with all the saints who've gone before us and all the saints still here on earth. Rejoice in what St. Paul said today in the epistle lesson. Our earthly lives, the things that we see, will one day pass away. But the Father who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise you, Paul said, with Jesus on the last day, and bring you into God's presence. So he says, don't lose heart. All the stuff we're going through now, it's momentary afflictions. We have for us the eternal weight of glory that is coming. Those unseen eternal things, Paul says, the building from God eternal in the heavens, made for us in glory. Let us rejoice, dear brothers and sisters, moms and dads, children and grandchildren, the one family in Christ, the church of all ages, in this congregation and in the saints and the church that we will see on the last day forever and ever. Rejoice that you have the Holy Spirit. The devil has been defeated, and we are all part of the family of God. So let's take care of each other like a family. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life.